Welcome to this new nutrition business podcast. My name is Julian Mellantin, and I'm going to be talking to you today about the recently announced financial results of Oatly. Oatly is probably the world's best known plant milk brand, and it was a pioneer in creating oat milks. It was originally created in the early 1990s by a professor at a Swedish university, and I remember sitting in his office about 1994 and discussing it with him. And his name is Rickard Oster, and he discovered that you could blend oat and water and not just end up with lumpy porridge, but you could use enzyme technology to transform it from lumpy porridge into a smooth and enjoyable drink. Oatly is a brand which has developed a very provocative branding style, which is love it or hate it. It's a brand with ambitions to be a global success. It's publicly stated that its aim is to get to $1 billion in sales. Unfortunately, in focusing on a big sales number, Oatly seems to have forgotten that it's also a good idea to make a profit now and again. In the first 6 months of 2023, each dollar of product that Oatly sold cost it $1.38 to make. Yes, that's right. It loses money every time it makes a sale. But that's good news. That's actually an improvement on 2022, when each dollar of product sold cost it $1.48 to make. So there's lots to be cheerful about. At that rate of improvement, Oatly might get to break even by 2027, maybe. We don't think that's going to happen. The oat milk business is changing, and the world has changed. We've had inflation, and next we're either going to have more inflation, or a recession, or maybe even both. And that's before you take into account any changes in consumer behavior, which are becoming very clear in the first part of 2023. Now, Oatly used to be a small, sensible Swedish company with moderate sales and moderate profits. All that changed when new investors moved in and they hired a new CEO, and he has transformed it from a small company with modest profits to a giant company with giant losses. As recently as 2016, Oatly had sales of $55 million and it made a profit of about $170,000. Fast forward to 2022, and Oatly had sales of $722 million. That's a fantastic increase. However, what wasn't so great was the increase in the company's losses. It made a loss in 2022 of $347 million. That, in food industry history, is a bit of a record. Now, 2022 was a tough year for many food companies with soaring raw material prices. And yet, that doesn't stack up as an excuse, because most companies managed to achieve at least break even or have moderate losses. Now, announcing these losses for 2022, Oatly's then CEO announced that these impressive results were part of a plan. And he explained that Oatly was already on a path of what he called a path to profitability. So halfway through 2023, how's that path to profitability looking? Well, at the end of July 23, Oatly put out its financial results for the first 6 months of 2023. These were not impressive. Sales were $391 million. That's an impressive 13.8% increase over the same time in 2022. However, that growth reflects price increases, the same price increases that everyone in the food industry had to put through to cope with higher raw material prices. When you look at volumes, the number of litres sold of Oatly, it's not quite such a glowing picture. Overall, it was up, but a much more modest 6%. However, typically Oatly produced impressive losses. An operating loss in the first 6 months of $147 million. Now, that's a smaller loss than the same time the year before, when it made a loss of $166 million. But this halfway point in the year, it's clear that Oatly is on track for sales of around $780 million and losses of $294 million. If you look at the details of Oatly's financials, it's noticeable that as a company, it desperately needs to cut its overheads. In fact, it did actually manage that in the first 2 or 3 months of 2023. But overall, in the first half of 2023, its overheads increased by $10 million. So that reversed the effect of the small cut in overheads earlier in the year. This suggests that someone in management isn't quite on top of their job in the way that they should be. Now, when they made their announcement of the first half's results, Oatly's senior management presentation did say that it was their intention to cut 85 million off their overheads by the end of 2024, and that was one of the things that was going to help them get to break even. Well, we've done our own maths, and we don't think that's enough. More like 115 million is what they're going to need to cut off. They're also going to have to grow steadily at around 15% per annum. Maybe they'll get somewhere close to that. They've managed 13.8% so far in 2023, and they will have to increase their gross margin, which was an average of 11.6% in 2022. They've actually managed to get that up to 18.3% in the first 6 months of 2023. But in order to get to break even, they're going to have to get to 25%. Looking at Oatly's financial presentation, they seem to think that this is easily doable, and they even say the long-term aim is to get to 35 or 40%. Again, we agree to differ. Now, when you actually look at the individual details of where Oatly is selling its products, the different parts of the world, a much more interesting picture emerges. So let's start with the good news. Well, what Oatly refers to as EMEA, E-M-E-A, Europe, Middle East, and Africa, is in fact really just called Germany, UK, and Sweden more accurately. And although the company is expanding its distribution within Europe, we're not aware of it being very significant. Europe accounts for about 50% of Oatly's total sales. And they were up by 17.6% by value, by volume, 7.2%, pretty good, as they expanded into new markets like Poland and Spain and Italy. And it's really this European business that's keeping Oatly going as it stands. And there's also a lesson here. Had Oatly been a little less ambitious, had it simply decided to excel and be strong in the European market and not be quite so ambitious in simultaneously in China and in the Americas, then what we'd be looking at now is a company which is half the size of the current one, but actually makes a profit, not a whacking great $300 million loss. Perhaps they could have got themselves established in Europe first and then later expanded elsewhere. Perhaps they could have been happy enough with having a $400 million business that produced a profit. It's a reminder that the obsession with scalability and growth, which comes from the investment community, which you hear from senior executives in big food companies, is often a complete red herring. Far from it being a brilliant idea by corporate and business geniuses to grow a business, the lesson of the past 15 years in the food industry is it's often an excellent way to do your business a lot of harm. And for every 10 companies that say they're aiming for scalability and colossal growth and billion-dollar targets, it would be a miracle if even one of them ever achieved that. And in fact, that's pretty generous. It's probably more like one in 100. So that's just a reminder. If you work for a company or you have you're investing in a food business where senior management says the most important thing is scalability and achieving enormous growth, run a mile, because what that's telling you is that those people have got ideas which made perfect sense 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but simply haven't kept up with the fact that our markets and the economy in which we operate are now changed. And what seemed very doable in the past is just not so doable today. Oatly's second biggest market after Europe is the Americas. And in the first half of this year, it produced an impressive result with sales up 19.4% to $61 million. This was primarily due to price increases because volume growth was just 1.7% in the first 6 months. Why was volume growth so low? Because the US market is changing. In 2022, the US plant milk market, which is the biggest in the world, which is the pioneer that everyone looks to, actually declined for the first time in 35 years. So volume went down about 2 or 3 percentage points. Sales value went up because, of course, they generated price increases. What's particularly interesting is that all plant milk sales went down, with the exception of oat milk. Now, it's often said that plant milk's sales are cannibalizing dairy milk. We don't think that's true anymore. It's not been true for a little while. And you can see this in the US, where essentially oat is cannibalizing the the other plant milks on the market and isn't really cannibalizing dairy. Now, that's been all good for Oatly because, of course, they make oat milk and nothing else. They've ridden on the back of the growth in oat milk sector in recent years and should go on doing so. There's just one little problem. Oat milk is a premium item. It sells at 100% premium to regular cow's milk. The people who've been motivated to consume oat milk are ones who are looking for something that enables them to have like a milk-like beverage without the digestive discomfort they associate with dairy. As I just explained, quite a lot of people have switched across from less good-tasting alternatives. There's also been an extent to which oat milk growth has been propelled by taste, because some people find that oat milk tastes better in coffee than dairy. That's their personal preference. However, ordinary Americans' budgets have been getting a lot tighter, with inflation at 10% and admittedly falling at the moment, but now interest rates rising significantly. In fact, interest rates have risen at a more rapid pace in America over the past year than ever before in history. So people are thinking more carefully about how they spend their money. So it may come as no surprise that growth in the oat milk segment appears to have flattened off in 2023. Now, if you just think about this market for a moment, tens, maybe even hundreds of brands have poured into the oat milk segment in the United States over the course of the past 2 or 3 years. Oatly is not even the biggest brand in the segment. That title belongs to a brand called Planet Oat, which is made by a dairy company called H.P. Hood. Planet Oat has about 35% market share in retail. Oatly has only about 20%. And if this category remains very low growth or flat for the remainder of this year, and we see that as being almost a certainty given the consumer environment, that means companies are going to be fighting harder in order to maintain share. It's interesting that in their results statement, Oatly talks about how they've significantly increased their promotional support in the United States this year. And yet, that has only generated for them a 1.7% increase in volume, which is about the same level of growth as the oat milk category itself has had in the past 6 months. So it's going to cost them more money just to stand still. And that's even before you take into account the fact that many brands will be tempted to cut their price in order to maintain their volume or get more volume in a market which is going pretty much ex growth. Turning to Asia, which generates about 19% of Oatly's revenue, it's a market in which Oatly has gambled heavily and is in the process of building, I think, two manufacturing plants. The big focus is China. That makes perfect sense. Now, this gamble seemed reasonable enough pre-COVID, but to be honest, it's now going sour. In the first 3 months of 2023, right after China opened up from its extensive lockdowns, Oatly's volume jumped by 23%. Fantastic. That's what you'd expect. What you wouldn't expect is what happened next. In the second 3 months of the year, its volume fell by 5.1%. When you talk to people based in Asia or companies in Asia, as we do, that's no surprise. What our contacts in China tell us is that post-lockdown, the Chinese market is not bouncing back. People in that market talk about business flatlining. And indeed, it's possible that the Chinese market economy of China may already be struggling. It's not possible to know because of the opacity and questionable veracity of Chinese government statistics. But if you look around, you can see there are a number of things that say the next few years are going to be difficult in China. It's an unavoidable fact that the country's population has begun to fall, nor can it be avoided that unemployment among the 16 to 24 age group is now 21.4%. Global demand for Chinese goods has fallen significantly. People are reining back on their expenditure, and companies are reining back on employees. China's tech giants like Tencent and Alibaba have already made massive job cuts, tens of thousands, according to a report by Reuters news agency. And a Shanghai-based recruitment group called Normstar estimates that the 10 biggest tech companies have cut their staff by at least 10%. And alongside this, there are growing concerns over hugely ballooning local government debt, the unhealthy balance sheets of banks, just like in the West, and a housing market which seems to be flat and going nowhere. And the housing market is particularly important for consumers' sense of financial well-being in China. In addition to the economy, the Chinese consumer isn't going to make it easy for Oatly either. China is famous for having very short product life cycles. Now, this has been more common in Asian markets than in the West for a long time. Japan, for example, a product can come and go inside 3 years. It can be very successful in that time, but consumers move on. You see exactly the same behavior among Chinese consumers, particularly younger Chinese consumers. A consumer researcher who is a Chinese person living in China explained to us just recently that companies have to have an expectation that people will embrace a product for a while, they'll enjoy it. That's often driven by social media attention, and then they'll move on to something else. And Oatly has an increasing number of competitive brands coming up against it in the Chinese market. It's no longer the new and exciting thing. And wealthy Chinese consumers living in the major cities are already accustomed to looking around for things that are new, exciting, and different, and bring some new pleasure or some new interest into their lives. So strangely enough, Oatly, the brand which always positions itself as being cutting edge and having an attitude, may just not be cutting edge enough anymore for the Chinese market once consumers have got many alternatives to consider. And now, as I said earlier, Oatly seems to have put a huge emphasis on both China and America as a driver of its future growth. It's very clear from the plateauing of the plant milk market in the US, the possibility of growth there is running out. It's clear from the fall in volume in China that, again, growth is just not going to be there for the next 2 or 3 years, or only on a very modest level. Oatly says it's initiated what it calls a comprehensive improvement plan in Asia. Well, that's great. That comprehensive improvement plan might enable their business there to survive, maybe even enable it to get to profit. It loses money in Asia, as it does in the United States, but it's not going to help return the business to the huge level of growth it's looking for. It's not going to help the business return to the fast growth it needs if it's to get to break even. And taking together the change in the consumer perspective and the economics of the American and Chinese markets, it's very clear that Oatly's claim that it will achieve overall profitability by the end of 2024 is looking a little bit thin. Oatly overall has two big problems. The first one was it had a strategy which made sense in the easy times when money was cheap and consumers were willing to spend lots of money on new things. Those years came to an end with COVID, and it doesn't look like they're going to return anytime soon. In fact, the inflation and recession, or combination of both, that we're going to be faced with for the next 3 to 5 years while the world works its way through the colossal amount of debt that individuals and countries have, suggests that there's no momentum going to come from consumers to drive a brand, even one as hardworking as Oatly, to $1 billion in sales. Oatly's business model was one borrowed from Silicon Valley, the assumption being that you grow sales and then profits somehow magically follow. That may make perfect sense in the world of technology. It has never made any sense in food. Food is an ultra-competitive, low-margin business. Oatly really has no point of difference, which is why it is unsurprisingly a distant second in the US market to its rival Planet Oat. Oatly did well in Europe because its only real competitor, Danone, was asleep on the job and didn't bother to compete vigorously enough in oat milks in time. The case of Oatly is a reminder that there's a lot to be said when you're launching a food business or a brand for focusing on steady growth, growth that's achievable, producing at least break even as soon as you possibly can, and not getting carried away by the high-flown ideas about scalability and disruptive innovation that have been the bane of our industry for the past 10 years. Those days are over, and Oatly is going to show us just how over they are. Thank you all very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you'd like to know more, please go to our website, www.new-nutrition.com. We have lots of useful case studies there, such as one on Oatly. And of course, there's our world-famous 10 key trends in the business of food, nutrition, and health. Please go and subscribe to our service. You'll find it's worth every cent. And you can also keep up with our podcasts, both the customer ones behind the paywall or some of the free ones we do on Podbean. Hope you all have a lovely day, and thank you very much for listening.